So in no other form, Krishna is manifesting himself in this world more accessible than in the form of his name. Certainly, Krishna is invisible. That is a complication. And that's why in the world there is so much religious debate, because no one knows exactly what the Lord looks like or what he is like. And prophets have spoken, but prophets have spoken in riddles or in statements, but so much scope for interpretation. So many different persons have explained prophets in different ways. So even in one particular branch of religion, you get so many different views, because the Lord is invisible. Then the Lord becomes visible for man in this world in the form of the deity. And that makes it very easy to relate to Krishna. But then some say it's just a statue. Some will argue the deity is a statue. So again, we get so much religious debate and so many opinions. And in the end, we wonder. Of course, one can debate. But if one serves the deity with faith and with love, then the deity will reciprocate and will reveal itself to us. And gradually, Krishna will show that he is not ordinary. There are many, many such pastimes of the Lord where he begins to show his transcendental nature. Just like in Mayapur, we also have Lord Jagannath. And also Srimati Subhadra Devi, and also Lord Balaram. And just like here in Mayapur, Subhadra also has a big golden nose ring. And since Subhadra is bigger than here, the nose ring is also considerably bigger. And it's quite a bit of gold if you really look to it. So one day, one Muslim came, and he came to the temple, and he saw all that gold, and he thought, some gold in the statues. And he just started to unscrew the nose ring. And just then, the white one over there slapped him really hard. So the next day he came back. He came back with an offering to the deities. And that's when the whole story came out, because people asked him, "You are a Muslim, why are you coming with an offering to the deities? You would say this is idol worship. So why are you now doing idol worship?" He said, No. "No, they're not idols." No, they're not idols. Then he said, "Why are you saying this?" He said, "Yesterday I saw that golden nose ring and I thought it would be a nice gift for my wife." One of the wives, I guess. But then as I was about to take it, that white one, just slapped me really hard. So he's angry. So that's why I'm bringing something for him. So mercy upon that Muslim. Mercy upon other Muslims as well. In Bombay, in our temple, we had a Muslim tailor who was making the outfits for the deities. So they wanted him to make a new outfit. And he said, "I must go on the altar to measure." He said, "Why do you have to measure? You have made so many outfits." He said, "No. Sometimes they change size." You also sometimes change size. So, like that, it happens. It happens. If you look at their diet, it's not surprising that you're excited. Sabji, Puri, so many opulent things. No wonder they change sides. So the deities like that, they are not just statues at all. They are reciprocating with our service. In scripture it says that if one serves the deity faithfully throughout one's life, then at the end of life the deity will come to take us back to the spiritual world. So like that, living with Krishna, and that certainly is great mercy. So Krishna appears in that merciful deity form. Different deities, different manifestations of the Lord. But then deity worship is strict. You have to be paka. Cleanliness, Prabhupada said. Cleanliness has to be there. Punctuality. These things have to be there. And then more. So many rules, so many regulations. And if we don't follow them, what will happen? Then aparat. Then offense. And reactions. Then the Lord becomes distant. If we are not properly taking care of the Lord, then he withdraws. Accidental offense is known as seva aparat. Seva aparat said will not give any reactions in one's bhakti. It will not affect the creeper of bhakti which is sprouting in the heart. If in the course of service one makes some mistake. But if one consciously becomes neglectful and think, too much work, too much work. Hey Krish, here's your grub, right? And you know, I don't really like ringing bells myself when I'm taking my dinner, so I won't ring any bells, you know. I'm a bit too much anyway, too much trouble. And then, when you finish, you can wash your plate and put it in the rack over there. That's the standard in the temple here, right? But one cannot treat Krishna like that. Then he will withdraw. Then we become neglectful. Then it is nama-aparat. And nama-aparat, or that kind of offense, is creating new anarthas in the heart, new stumbling blocks in the heart. Devotional service destroys the stumbling blocks due to karma in the heart. Anarthabhasanam saksat bhakti yoga madoksaje. But if we make offenses to the deity consciously by being neglectful, by not caring, by not taking it serious, then we have to, then new impurities sprout in the heart that will cover our bhakti. And then, naham prakasa sarvasya yogamaya samabhrita, then Krishna remains covered by a curtain of illusion and invisible. Then he still is invisible. And then you're praying and praying every day, but the Lord remains invisible. And then it becomes very hard to continue to pray. Why am I praying and praying and praying to someone who's invisible? To some, oh God, please give me a sign. Yes, two devotees were walking down the road. There was a sign at the road. When they came closer, it said, sign of God. A sign of God. At last, yes. Looking for a sign of God. But who got a sign of God? A sign. And what is it? A sign of God. Is it a sign of God or is it a sign of your mind? Difficult to say. How do you know it's a sign of God? How do you know it's not a sign of the mind? Difficult to understand. Not easy. Something happens. Yes. You were just thinking of going to India, and just that day someone said, I have a ticket lying around, would you like to go to India? Sign of God, he wants me to go. Is it? Or just coincidence? How do you know? The devotees said, no, that's Krishna.
definitely Krishna.
And materialists will say, no proof whatsoever, just coincidence.
How do you know?
But little by little, again and again, we begin to feel that Krishna is reciprocating with ourselves. Sometimes we're discussing something, and just then, later that day, we open the Gita exactly on the page, and it's discussing the same point. Same point. So, just see. Oh, Krishna is there. Just see. Krishna is certainly there. There is no doubt about it. That was a sign from Krishna. And whatever the atheists may say, we don't care. We don't care. They may not believe, that's their problem, not mine. We believe it. Devotees believe. So devotees will get their different signs at different times. Me too, I got this...
It's quite some years back, but I got a hat, you know, not this one, but someone gave me a hat. And in the hat it said, the whole big universe. I thought, yes, I'm a big preacher now. Getting the whole big universe, whatever.
Then I got a jacket from a store outside, and it said, BBT Sports.
I said, yes. Again, you know, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Although it wasn't from Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Krishna is sending me these things. Ah, see, preacher, big preacher.
Then, those clothes I lost very quickly. And then I got something new, a new sweatshirt, and then it said INQ. And I knew what that meant, is not qualified. That one, I had it for years. Couldn't get rid of it. And even when I tried to leave it behind, you know, when it got old, I left it behind and people would send it to me afterward by post, and it's back again. INQ is not qualified.
You may say you're imagining things, and I'm saying you're imagining things. I'm saying it's Krishna. You're imagining that it's not Krishna, and I know it's Krishna.
So, you know, who's right? We can fight about it for years, Mr. Atheist, but I couldn't care less because we judge by the results. It is said that those who follow the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, they are indeed experiencing something special. Those who live by the Gita, they become special people. See? What is the proof that the deity is God? That if you simply spend a life on that altar, worshipping that deity, you become a saint. Just try. If you don't believe, just try it and you'll see. Just do that for a life and you'll be a saint. Like that. So that's proof. And we see people who did become saints by doing so for a lifetime. Saints are happy within. Saints have no secrets. They are Arjavan. They are very simple by nature because they have nothing to hide. Sinful people, they have to hide many things. Like Shakespeare said, all the dark and sinful things that are behind the capital of the world. What can you do? Money for money. And we kill for money. We cause suffering for profit. What to do? Yes. But a saintly person has nothing to hide. It's simple. A saintly person never is very simple. You ask him what's your secret, he will tell you. He'll tell you openly. He'll tell you everything. Nothing to hide. Everything is above board. So then there's nothing to hide. As simple as that. So one becomes like that if one worships the deity or if one lives a life in service based on Bhagavad Gita. But in no form is Krishna as accessible as in his name. It is in the name that Krishna's mercy is more available than in any other mercy. If you worship the deity and you are not following properly, you'll get offense, you'll get aparat, and the result of that. But with the name, no problem. By chanting the name, those offenses against the deities will be forgiven. But the name is the more merciful form of the Lord. It is for that reason that in this age the chanting of the holy name is emphasized. It is not that the deity is any less Krishna than the holy name. Of course not. The deity is also Krishna. But we are less. We are less qualified. INQ is not qualified. And who can say he is qualified? Is not qualified. And therefore, how can we access the deity? How can we really become so saintly that one day the deity will speak to us? That was the case with two pure brahmanas who went to Vrindavan. Two pure brahmanas went to Vrindavan, and the younger brahmana was serving the elder brahmana so nicely. And then the elder brahmana said, "Oh, you are so wonderful. I like you very much. I thank you so much for all the service you've done for me. I'm greatly indebted to you. Let me offer you my daughter in marriage." The young brahmana said, he said, "Look, sir, you are from a very wealthy, aristocratic Brahmin family, and I am just from a poor Brahmin family. And it will create problems. It will create problems in your family, so better, I do not accept your offer." "No," the other Brahmin said. "I am the boss in my family, what do you think? I am the head of my family. When I say so, then they will have to follow." "Sir, if you insist, what can I do? Then I must accept. But you may please speak before the deity of Gopal, so that Gopal can be a witness to your words." Brahmana said, "Yes, I'll say it in front of the deity. Whatever is said in front of the deity, one cannot speak a lie. So whatever one speaks in front of the deity, that promise one has to keep, or else big trouble." So that is not advisable. So the elder Brahmana was quite knowledgeable and careful about that. So he said it in front of the deity. So then they went back to their native place. And when they came back to their native place on the other side of India, then the elder Brahmana went home and met his family, and he told them the news. And when they heard it, his wife, she had a fit, and she said, "What? If you do this, I will commit suicide." And then the eldest son said, "This is a disgrace to our family. How can this be? This is intolerable. I will commit suicide also." So then the Brahmana was thinking that he had a problem, because he realized that although he was boss in his family, I mean, if they were going to commit suicide, that was not a good situation. So what to do now? So then he was forced to deal with it. So the Brahmana then said, "Yeah, but what can I do? I've given my word. The eldest son then began to speak and said, "No problem, just say you don't remember and I will do the rest." So then the young brahmana came, and then the eldest son came out with a stick and chased him away. "You are my sister. Lucky you will get." So a big village drama it was. And as you know, in the village, when there is some dispute, they call all the people of the village. You go, you bring all the people. Even in India today, still, if there's a big fight in the street, then all the people from the street, when there's a fight with a rickshawala or something, big fight, then all the people from the street, they come to hear the story, what was agreed, this, that, and finally the public decides, right? Okay, you give him 5 rupees. Yeah. Then you have to give. Yeah. You go. So, like this. No? So that was the situation. So they called in all the people, and the young Brahmana said yes. The elder Brahmana promised his daughter to me in Vrindavan. So then the son of the Brahmana, the elder Brahmana. The elder Brahmana said, sir, did you promise to this young man? The elder Brahmana said, I don't remember. Then, immediately his son came forward. He says, yes, this rascal, he was with my father. In Vrindavan, he gave him datura. Datura is something better not to take. What shall we say? You take a datura, you become a crazy. You become a completely crazy if you take a datura. So don't take a datura, because you become crazy. Yes, be careful of the datura. Yes, this is I know some people that took a datura. They've never been the same. Yes, anyway, so he said, he gave datura to my father, and he became totally confused, and that's why he can't remember. And then, and now the rascal says that my father promised that he would marry off my daughter, his daughter to this rascal. So the village people said, this boy is poor and the family is very rich, so it could well be, So the people were confused, didn't know what to say. Then the young Brahmana said, no, I have a witness. I have a witness. Oh, you have a witness. Yes, I have a witness. The deity is my witness. Anyway, so then the young Brahmana said, oh, the deity is your witness. Yes, yes. Okay, you go bring your deity. You go bring your witness. No worries, man. Yeah, bring your witness over any time. Yeah, no worries. She'll be right. Yeah. But the young Brahmana went, and when he came before the deity, then he said to the deity, he said, my dear Gopal, you must come, this is the situation, and you are our witness, so you must come to testify. Then the deity said to him, I'm a deity, how can I walk? And the young Brahmana said, if you can talk, you can walk. So anyway, in the end, he walked behind him all the way across India and then came to the village and stood at the edge of the village and said, now I go no further, you call the villagers. Because they were not allowed to see the deity speaking, because they didn't have that faith. So, but when they saw the deity came and so on, then they believed it and the marriage took place and, they lived happily ever after and all that. Anyway, but the point is the deity does speak. But in this age, who has that qualification? Therefore, because we don't. If we have deities, then after some time, there is dust on the deities. And spider webs begin to grow on one side. And, after some time, we may put them to rest when we go on holidays, and when we come back, we forget to wake them up. And they stay in there for a long time, in the box. So therefore this deity worship is difficult. But the chanting, music we like. Some nice music. So, why not? That we can do. Kirtan we can do, easily. Anyone can do. You don't have to be learned, children can do, you don't need philosophy. Kirtan is okay. Is Kirtan okay? You like Kirtan? Kirtan is bien? No. What language does it speak? English, huh? Kirtan? Okay. Just say, yes Maharaj or no Maharaj. Kirtan, okay. You have to be polite. The father is not teaching you to say yes Maharaj, no Maharaj, of course Maharaj, thank you Maharaj. Anyway, everyone else thinks Kirtan is okay?
Yes, Maharaj.
I'm very polite. Yes, that's good. Yes. I also think it's okay. I think it's a good thing. It's attractive. It is nice and easy to do. Doesn't require any prior qualifications. Because for kirtan, you don't need to follow any rules and regulations. Anyone can partake in kirtan. Even if you can follow only some of the principles, still kirtan is there. And kirtan is for anyone. Or no principles at all, no problem. Kirtan is for anyone. And one gets purified. One gets the mercy. That's not all. That's not all. It is to kirtan that one also gets the topmost, that one is uplifted to Golok Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are performing their pastimes. Because everything is there within that holy name. And it is interesting that Haridas Thakur, who was born a Muslim, that he started chanting. How exactly, we don't know. We don't know exactly why Haridas began to chant, because we don't know that much about his life. But we do know that he sat down in a place called Benapol, and there he was chanting and chanting and chanting 24 hours a day, non-stop practically. He became very famous as a very great saint. One Brahmana, who was a great zamindar, became a bit envious and he sent a prostitute. And this prostitute came in the middle of the night and said, "Oh Haridas, Haridas, you are very handsome. Which young girl could resist your features, O Haridas? O Haridas, I cannot go home. Haridas, I cannot live without you anymore. Haridas, O Haridas, Haridas, I cannot go home tonight. No, no, Haridas, I will stay with you." So, what would you say? What would you say?
I'm married.
She might say that. You are alone?
My wife is alone.
Don't worry. How can you let this opportunity go? Of course you would say no. Because his wife is here to it. He would say no, of course. But he might perspire a little bit in such a situation. We might perspire a little bit because we do not have the same purity that Haridas Thakur had. Haridas Thakur, not a trace of lust in his heart. Who can say that? Not a trace. I went there to that place, Benapol. It is now in Bangladesh. I went just over the border from India. I went there. And I thought, when I go there, I will pray for the power to chant the holy name. But when I came, I saw not only Haridas, but I saw also a deity of that prostitute, Lakshahira. Lakshahira, the prostitute, there was a deity of her. And I was a bit shocked because I didn't expect it. And then, as I saw that, then I realized, yes, by the mercy of Haridas, this prostitute became a great devotee, and she became free from all lusts. Therefore, I didn't pray for chanting, for the power to chant. I prayed to become free from any trace of lust in that place. Yes. the last trace of lust. Let it go, whatever is there. That is what Haridas attained through chanting the holy name. The chanting of the holy name transforms lust into Krishna prema. So this is very powerful and amazing. Therefore, we should understand, in this age, nobody is qualified. And therefore Krishna comes in his most merciful form, in the form of his name. Therefore this kirtan must always be there. Therefore even in worshipping the deity, we do it with kirtan. Everything, kirtan, any excuse. Is there a marriage? Kirtan. Is there a picnic? Kirtan. Is there Rath Yatra? Kirtan. I saw a procession, a procession with a Vishnu deity on a big chariot, and the people were pulling the chariot for 10 minutes, and then they would sit down for 5 minutes, and then they would pull the chariot and sit down, and like this, there was no kirtan, and they were pulling the chariot, and it was a big tapasya. And they had invited us to come and do the kirtan. So we came, after some time, they were already pulling, and we saw the situation. They are pulling, resting, what is this? And we did the kirtan, and we danced in front of that chair. And these people, no kirtan, no dancing, nothing. So I started dancing in front of one man, really jumping and jumping and chanting and running up and down and down. Finally, he went also a little bit like that. And then after some time, he also moved his legs, and then he jumped, and then his neighbor looked at him, and then the neighbor jumped, and then after 20 minutes, everybody was jumping in the kirtan, and they forgot to stop. They kept on pulling the chariot, but they forgot to stop. That is the nature of kirtan. It brings us to a transcendental platform. Then we forget everything else. Then we just remember Krishna, and suddenly
all the things of the world that usually are big problems,
we forget them. That is the nature of kirtan. So, in this way, kirtan is very, very sweet. Very sweet. So Krishna has appeared in this form. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to emphasize this in this age. And he started as a child, as a baby, he continued to cry non-stop. You couldn't get the child quiet. No trick would work. So that's intense, you know what I mean? When the little darlings begin to cry. Intense. But the only thing that worked was the chanting. When there was chanting, he would stop. So, that in this way, later on, when he was a boy and he was beginning to learn writing, then he was practicing his writing by writing different holy names of the Lord. So, like this, Lord Chaitanya was always connected to the holy name. And he came to bring that holy name. Then Prabhupada came. And Prabhupada just did that. That famous tune. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This tune has a special power, you know, you notice that it ends with Hare Krishna, and it starts each time again with full force, you know, just as it runs out of steam, and go again with force. And it's like one of those tunes that have no end. I had this accident and I was in the hospital, unconscious. And suddenly I heard this tape with this tune, the Prabhupada's tune, and it was so nice and so soothing, you know, especially amidst all the pains that hospitals bring with them. And as I appreciated that tune, I realized that I had heard it for a long time already, although I was unconscious, but I had heard it. I realized it. I actually heard it all the time. That is the nature of the holy name. One can hear even while unconscious, because it penetrates on a deeper level. It's not just touching the mind, it's touching the soul, awakening the soul. See, what happens is when the soul becomes embodied, what happens to the soul? The soul is in the body. What happens? The soul goes into a dormant state. It falls asleep. And what happens is the normal functions of the soul, thinking, feeling, and willing, are taken over by the mind. And then the mind is feeling and willing and thinking. Yes, think. But actually, thinking, feeling, and willing belongs to the soul. That's actually how it is. And when we chant Hare Krishna, we awaken the soul. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem, Sati Kabunai, Shravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. By hearing and chanting, we awaken our the dormant soul. It's time for kirtan, I can see. That was my plan anyway. I was going to do 5 minutes of kirtan. 5 to 15 minutes of kirtan. But I thought first there should be a question or a soul. Or a comment. Something. Or lots of questions.
If we are in a bad situation, do we just accept it as part of our karma, or do we ask for Krishna's mercy?
If we are in a bad situation, we accept it as our karma, and at the same time, we try and do something about it. And we know that Krishna knows everything. So we don't need to ask Krishna, because we know Krishna knows. He knows. But when it becomes intolerable, and when it drives us to a point of total crisis, then we ask Krishna. Then because we have no other shelter, where else can we go? But if we can tolerate, then we don't need to ask Krishna, because Krishna knows. But when we are desperate what to do, then yes, we must.
What is the effect of chanting in such a situation?
The effect of chanting is that it purifies our heart, and that it will attract Krishna's mercy. That doesn't mean that it will fix our material problems, because the eighth offense in the matter of chanting the holy name is to think that it is karma kanda, or one of the ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas, basically activities which give us material benefits. So the chanting does not give us material benefits. So you can chant and chant day and night, and there's no guarantee that will fix our material problems.
I'm not talking about material, just if you're in a bad situation.
Yeah, well, so it may not fix our material problems, but if we chant, it will give us shelter with Krishna. We will remember Krishna. And we will feel the shelter of Krishna, and then we can deal with this difficult problem better. So in that way, it will give us shelter, it will help. Next question.
We were talking about how sometimes if we do more of an offence that's more conscious rather than accidental, and then it's creating new apparatus like that.
Then it's non-apparat creates new anartas.
Yeah, and then sometimes, as we've heard also, that as we're performing devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna, engaging with the process of Bhakti Yoga, where it stirs up all the mud as well. So sometimes there's also the anartas that are so hidden we don't know that they're in there, and then they're coming up as well. So that's different again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I was just thinking of balancing that, and then, because somebody might think, oh, that's depressing, maybe I should have worshipped the deities because I'll just commit offense and then it'll make more apparats. And sometimes devotees think that, oh, I was more ecstatic when I was a new devotee and then it became so much harder. Mm-hmm. But then there's that verse in the Padma Purana that says that the chanting of Hare Krishna is even for one who's committing offences, because yes. Even if you continue, eventually that will purify you from even offences as well. So can you sort of comment and put those three concepts together?
Okay. I'll take the general theme, the theme of getting discouraged, right, over time, when we realize that there are rules and so many standards which we cannot follow, and we get a little bit afraid. We get afraid of worshipping the deity, afraid of Vrindavan, First we thought, oh, Vrindavan's so nice, then we hear, oh, you get heavy reactions, oh, Vrindavan. No, Krishna is always kind. We should always think Krishna in his deity form is always kind. Krishna, Vrindavan is merciful, and Krishna is always merciful, so we should always have that attitude. But Krishna is also not cheap. We should try and treat him nicely and with devotion. But we'll make some mistakes, and that's sort of, that's okay. That's not taken too serious. But if we really don't take care, then we should not have deeds. Then better we find a home for those deities. If we feel I can't do this, then better not. One must at least keep a simple standard, something. It doesn't have to be too complicated. Some people get very mental. They think that they have to have the same standard at home as in a temple. And if you don't have, then it's a big offense. That's not at all the fact. The home standard is very different. Prabhupada's principle about deity worship was that it is very simple. There were three things that Prabhupada said in regards to deity worship, and it was punctuality, cleanliness, and simplicity. And if I get the last one, because our deity worship is basically that we are not so much attached to the ritual, but we should look after Krishna's comfort. We should see we're dealing with Krishna here, his personality, for his comfort. Not that we at night have a nice warm blanket and Krishna is freezing on the altar. No, he also needs something warm. Yeah, we put him to rest and also like that. Not that we have a big meal and Krishna gets like three cashew nuts. No. Whatever you eat in the house, you should offer to the deity. Like that. So there are some standards if you want deities. Not just for decoration. But that's very nice.
And that program where Shri Prabhupada talked about distributing Gauri Thai deities to...
That's Dhananjaya. Dhananjaya tells that. That's the story of Dhananjaya Prabhu. And so he said Prabhupada told him that he was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, you can make deities of Gornitai, and then the book distributors can give those deities to people and they can say that they are Krishna dolls and that they bring luck, especially if you give them every day a glass of water. So that was Prabhupada and Gornitai. Prabhupada's amazing, his amazing prayer for the mercy, and Gaudiya's amazing mercy.
So there was between them.
Yes. So Gaudiya is especially merciful.
There is that concept like that our deep hidden anattas are going to be destroyed after.
Don't worry about them, they will be destroyed. There is this fear, as soon as you say anatta is an apparat, and it creates, as you say, a depression. It creates fear. Watch out, offense, help, help. Forget it, dear devotees. I'll take it from Satchinanda as well. My dear devotees, don't worry. Because Krishna is very merciful. He is so kind upon all the conditioned souls that he will surely overlook these things. Just if you try to do your best, then everything will be fine. So don't get depressed, don't get afraid, it is not required.
But you think it's sometimes it's good to know, but like, just so that when it does happen,
okay. No. Now I get like stubborn, now I get Dutch. So I tried the German romantic answer. Now I'm going to get the stubborn Dutch one. You know? The answer is no. Forget it. Lord Chaitanya is the presiding deity of this age. Take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. It will be okay. Even if you are apparat personified. A big boil. You're a walking boil filled with offense. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. They are hope. Yeah. Although, the Dutch way is a little rough, I know. But what I mean to say is, no, we know all these things because we try to do it right, you know, for Krishna's pleasure. But we should not let fear come in. That's why I'm saying so strongly no. I'm afraid that people will go away full of fear. And I'm afraid that people will all think, oh my God, I hope I'm not going to make an offense, oh my God. And then I think, India already had so much of that, you know, because India had the smarter Brahmanas. And the smarter Brahmanas, they were very strict about rules and regulation and not about the spirit of bhakti. So they were hammering people with rules. Rules, 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 rules. And if you don't follow these rules, you're... So it's like, that's lifted now. That's lifted by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we follow all these things nicely, we try to go further, you know, so you can go deeper. You know, if we serve Krishna with apparat, with some offenses, it's not that Krishna is going to, that Lord Chaitanya is just going to kick us out, that Lord Chaitanya is going to throw thunderbolts on our heads straight away and all these things, no. But what will happen is Lord Chaitanya, we'll have to wait. Krishna will not fully reveal himself. We will not get Krishna praying. That we will not get. But we want. So if you want Krishna praying, yes, then we have to avoid all these offenses. Yeah? But it's not that we have to live in total fear, you know, oh my God, every day. Maybe it's better I don't go to the temple anymore because I just make offenses.
The descriptions again in our shastras that Prabhupada's given to us, just awareness, that's all, not fear. Just to understand that the process continues regardless.
Yes. Yeah, but the emphasis, where are you placing the emphasis? You have to place the emphasis on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and not on the opera. So it's okay, you study all the apparats and all the anarthas and all these things. But as long as the emphasis is on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we'll be happy, even with some offenses. We'll be happy. But if you start to put the emphasis on from offenses and items and so on, we get depressed. That's why I get a little, because I'm worried that it's taken in the wrong way. Because I see that. And then we become the International Society for Rules and Regulations. And Krishna sits in the back seat. Yeah? Rules and regulations sit in the front seat next to us, and in the back seat, Krishna. But we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And the rules and regulations follow, because they're there designed to help please Krishna better. But they're secondary to the Krishna, to the holy name. So we're very optimistic in this movement. Yes, there's a few offenses. Yes, there are a few anathas. And, you know, they'll be purified in a snap. No worries. She'll be right. I have that conviction. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is very great. But just in case, we should have some more kirtan, just to kind of make sure that whatever. But I appreciate your points, you know, I'm not saying that you don't see it in the proper perspective. I'm just afraid that, but I'm afraid that some people may overemphasize the offense side.